Well, praise the Lord. How many of you were able to see our ad in the paper today? All right, several folks have seen that. And praise the Lord. And thank you for giving those that gave toward that. And we got enough so we were able not only to get half a page, we also were able to get it in color. And that added to it. And just really looks good. And praise the Lord for that. Just a great testimony for the Word of God. And certainly an exciting time, and a lot of things going on today. I'm excited about what we're doing in reading through the Bible in the next 3 days, and I hope that you are excited as well. It is a great thing to be able to do. It's wonderful that we have the Word of God, isn't it? It's just amazing. I mean, it's like the song we just sang, "Christ liveth in me." What an amazing thing that is. Just to think that Christ liveth in me. And then, you know, that God would give us His Word. He'd let us have His Word, that we can read it and memorize it, and we can we know how to live because we have the Word of God. We know how to be saved because we have the Word of God. And praise the Lord for that. And that's wonderful. All right. Well, go to Revelation, the book of Revelation. We do have schedules for the those who are working security. We have that schedule. We have all the readers and times. That is at the Welcome Center, which is on the other side of the foyer. All right, in case you noticed, the Welcome Center is gone. It did not get raptured. It just got moved. All right, and so we have all of the reading times. Everything got signed up for, every slot is accounted for. Praise the Lord for that. If you see your name and something comes up, let us know. If you cannot make it, we need people reading at every slot, and so that we can finish Wednesday night during the service sometime. That is the goal. And so anyway, all of that is in a packet that is at the Welcome Center. And then we also have the prayer list. Just different prayer lists here at the church. I know there are some individual groups have different prayer lists. These are kind of the main prayer lists that we use, and we want you to have access to them. I have those here in the front pews. We also have those at the transported Welcome Center. And again, you are welcome during this time. These next 3 days, you can come in any time of the day. Kneel here at the altar and pray. You can sit at a pew. You can kneel at a pew. You can use the auditorium. Somebody will be in here all the time reading the Bible, and you're welcome to take these prayer lists and pray and pray and pray and pray. And so I'm excited about that, and I hope that you are as well. Revelation chapter 1, we have lesson 4. That we are on now, and we're on Roman numeral 2 of lesson 4, but we also have lesson 5 available. And lessons 4 and 5 are shorter lessons, so doesn't take up quite as much room in your Bible, but we want you to get that. If you need it, anyone need lesson 4 or lesson 5, raise your hand. All right, we have really just a couple, about 3 folks. All right, if you've got you have plenty of lesson 4. Do you have plenty of lesson 4, or they all need lesson 5? Maybe they all need lesson 5. Very good. All right, lesson 5 is what most of them need. All right, good job, fellas. We need to double your pay one of these days. It's really easy with the ushers doubling. We can multiply their pay all the time. We can do it over and over and over again. We can almost do it without church vote. But I feel obligated to at least have our class vote anytime we help Brother Collins out, or especially Brother Stewart. All right. Lesson 4 is under Section 1, which deals with Revelation Chapter 1. Again, my outline is not necessarily inspired by God. It's my own outline. It's not one that I copied from any commentary. It's just kind of how I divided up Revelation. It is not something, you know, well, bless God, this is the only way. I don't believe that. It's just was easiest for me to follow this division. I've divided the book of Revelation into seven sections, and section one covers Revelation chapter one, and section one is entitled The Apocalypse of Jesus Christ. And so lesson four of this is The Assignment is Revealed. And again, we've just been taking, we cover every verse in Revelation chapter 1, but we have not covered them necessarily in order. And so our memory verse, and really the main verse of this lesson, there are only two verses, but the main verse of this lesson, Revelation 1 and verse 19. So go ahead and turn there. We'll recite that together. We'll say the reference, and then the verse, and then the reference, and begin. Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. And again, Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Revelation 1:19. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you that we can meet this morning and we can study it. And it is so exciting to know that we have your Word. And just so good that we can talk about it. We don't have to be ashamed of it. And even we don't have to worry about guards coming in or soldiers coming in and arresting us because we're reading and preaching from your Word today, as certainly in some countries in our world, people are dying for the cause of Christ and the cause of thy Word. And we thank you that we have that freedom. At least now we have that freedom to open up the Bible and preach and teach and follow it and live it. And so I pray we'll do that today. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first point in lesson four was, and under the assignment is revealed, the first thing, Roman numeral one, was to see what God reveals to him. The assignment to John was he was required to see what God reveals to him. We looked at that last week, dealing with verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write, to see what God reveals to him. Roman numeral 2 is to script what he sees. In other words, what thou seest, okay, write in a book. And we started on that with capital A, the command. Write in a book. Talked about the inspiration of God. We'll be talking about that even more so today. Talking about several different things in reference to that. We ended last week with the idea of what God says about his preservation. And again, we'll talk about that tonight in the service. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. God preserves what's written. So John writes what God says and what God shows him. And God gives him the words. He writes it all down. And then God preserves what has been written. God, all these years down the line, God is preserving it. You say, yeah, but how do you know that? Because God said he would. And I know that. And by the way, if you want to doubt God's ability to preserve his word, then all of a sudden you're going to move into doubting God's ability to keep you saved. And you'll have to. Look, if God is not able to do all God says, then how could we know that we're saved? And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be today. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to wonder. He wants you to be confused. God is not the author of confusion. And so, again, to say, well, bless God, I can trace it all down and show how God's preserved his word in this and that and everything else. Do you understand? You don't have to know manuscript evidence to know God preserved his word. And the reason you don't have to know is because you just can believe God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't know those. I took 4 years of Greek and remember some of it. But the truth of the matter is, I know God preserves his word because he said he would. Do I understand all of it? Of course not. But I don't understand a star in the sky. And all of a sudden God says, fall, star, and it goes, whoosh. Then you think, is it really falling or is it going up or is it going sideways or what is the star really doing? Where is up and where's down? And, you know, you start getting into that, you get into the mind of God, and you and I are, we barely can deal with our own mind, let alone the mind of God. So anyway, I just thought I'd point all that out. So here's the thing, we stopped at with capital A here, the command, and I want you to understand this. All Scripture is just like what happened to John here. Everything's just like what happened to John. God decides to give it, and then God speaks it, and man writes it down. And it's not the words of men, it's the words of God. Amen. And so then God preserves His Word, and then God also illuminates, and we'll talk about that tonight, just very briefly. He helps us to understand what it says. Some people say, you know, I just can't understand the Word of God. But if you know the author, and you ask the author, He wants you to understand it. And He does, and He will do that. And so, understand what we just looked at in the book of Revelation with John, what you just we just read about, we've studied it a couple of weeks now. And that goes for all Scripture. All Scripture is just like that. Everything we have in the Word of God is just like that. Okay, just like that with John. John, I'm going to tell you what to say, but I'm also going to show you. You know, Daniel, for example. Daniel saw some things he didn't understand at all. He said, "I don't get it." God said, "It's okay, Daniel, go thy way. I go thy way. It's okay. I just wanted you to write it down." You know, he didn't understand, but he, you know, God showed him some things. And again, God's Word, it's an amazing thing. So let me just give you something here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 10. And it's why we're not getting to all the exciting prophecies of Revelation. We're really deeply studying all of the book of Revelation. And I really think it's good for us, especially in light of the King James Bible 400-year anniversary. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 10, it says this, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Now, that is talking about the Word of God. That's the finished New Testament that is talking about. Some have said, well, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus has never been a that and never will be a that. And it is talking about the Word of God, the finished New Testament. When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And then look what it... Okay, so once all of the Word of God, once we have all of the Word of God, then God said, "I'm going to phase out the interim spiritual gifts that the people had in the New Testament time." God said, "They're going to believe my word, and they're not going to, you know, they're not going to need all those signs." Okay, and so that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. And there are many people that don't like that today when we preach about that, but that's what it says. Verse 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And then it says, "We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And then he makes a comparison here. Verse 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." And what it's saying is, he says, now we see through a glass darkly. That's talking about polished metal. You ever seen polished metal and you look at it and you can see your reflection, but you really can't see it? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, polished metal, what are they called? Rest areas. They've gotten smart and they have polished metal instead of mirrors because you can't break them. You can't, it's pretty tough to deal with them, but you know, it's not really a clear, which for most of us, that's probably a blessing. Amen. I mean, seriously, some of those, they really, you look at it and say, yeah, I look pretty good in that, because it's not real. It's not reality. But anyway, he said, we see through a glass darkly, but he said, once we have the Word of God, we see face to face. And that's like a mirror. And James talks about that real quick. James 1, I know I'm getting off on a tangent here, but I can. Amen. James 1 and verse 24. It says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And here he's talking about, and I should have read verse 23, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And that's talking about in a mirror. You're looking in a mirror. And you look at the word of God is a mirror. It shows you what you really look like. And that is what the word of God gives us. That's why it's under so much attack. The law of the Lord, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. Converting the soul. Why? Because it shows me what I really am. I mean, I could feel like I'm doing pretty well. I could hang around a bunch of wicked people. I could hang around drug users and people that cuss and swear, people that rob and steal. And Brother Larry Johns, he hangs around folks like that all the time. He's, you know, he has our prison ministry. And he can walk out and say, "Man, I look pretty good." But that's not what we're supposed to do. That's not what we're supposed to do. What we're supposed to do is look into the mirror of the Word of God to see what we really look like. And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, because it shows us the first thing we need to know, and that is, I need cleaned up. I need cleaned up. That's what it shows us immediately. By the way, that's why so many don't like it. That laver sitting outside the holy place, the laver, it was made out of glass, it was made out of mirror material, so they could see and they could wash before they went in to that wonderful fellowship with God. And I'm working on a message called Courtyard Christianity, because we don't want to wash. We don't want to wash at the laver. And that affects our prayer. That affects our Bible reading. That affects our soul winning. But biggest thing of all, it affects our walk with God and our relationship with God. And so we settle for the courtyard. Study it sometime. Somebody will be reading it tonight. This afternoon sometime, you'll be reading it. And you know, the courtyard. There is nothing beautiful in the courtyard. Amen? Nothing. You know, badger skins. Whoopee. But inside the tabernacle, there's beautiful, beautiful things. You know, so many Christians are just kind of... kind of going through their Christianity, it's because you're in the courtyard. By the way, right behind you is a bunch of slaughtered animals. There's blood everywhere. It's just not a pretty sight, honestly. If you look at the courtyard of the tabernacle, it's just not a pretty thing. You know, at least you're inside. I mean, that's a good thing. Well, I'm going to get to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Yeah, but you know what? You could have a wonderful relationship. I got to quit. Okay, let's move on. Anyway, so we're moving on. I get in more trouble. So, capital A, we have the command. Capital B, we have the contents. The contents. We go to verse 19 for the contents, this book. Okay, what is this book all about? And the contents, verse 19, the Bible says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Now, by the way, there is a great outline of the book of Revelation. Many commentators have used that verse as their outline, and it is an excellent outline of the book of Revelation. You say, "Preacher, your outline makes me tired." Okay, then use this outline, and it will be very, very simple. And it is a good outline, nothing wrong with it at all. It is this, okay? We have the past. He says, "The things which thou hast seen." That would be the past, all right? And that's chapter 1. Then we have the present. That would be John's present. And those are the things which are. And that's chapters 2 and 3, the letters to the churches, okay? And then we have the bulk of the book of Revelation, and that is the things which shall be hereafter. That is chapters 4 through 22. Those are the things which shall be. So you have the past, the present, and the future. This is a good outline of the book of Revelation. So, again, one you can follow, and that'll be fine. That'll be good. these contents, that incorporates the what John is going to write down. That incorporates what we call the book of Revelation. And remember that that which is for the seven churches, we learned this earlier, whatever is for these seven churches, that's for us also. We are those servants. We are the ones that can be blessed from this book. So whatever they get, we get. It is for us. And therefore, we understand that the past, the present, and the future that John is dealing with, it's all relevant for us. It applies. There are things that apply to you and I. It's not something we say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I can't use it. It all applies to us. And here's how I think of it. And I could have written down all kinds of different illustrations. But in my mind, I think the testimony of John here could be this. He could say, I was persecuted for Christ. We talked about that. He makes reference to that. He was persecuted for the cause of Christ. And of course, he was, again, some say he was boiled in oil and then put on the Isle of Patmos. And a prisoner's island, he was banished, and certainly a very difficult thing. I was persecuted for Christ, but it was, or he could say, it is God's will for me. And he makes that statement, makes it very clear. I was persecuted for Christ, but it was God's will that I be persecuted for Christ and be put on this island. And so I could be used by him to show me some things and bless me now and give me hope for the future. I mean, John could say that. I can say that. I can read Revelation and I can say, you know, I've had some persecution in my life too. But I have to recognize that God's in control of my life, and God's will is something I've sought for since I gave my life to Him years ago. And therefore, I have to recognize God could stop some of those nasty things from happening to me. God could stop some of those things that are uncomfortable for me. And so I've got to recognize maybe, just maybe, it is God's will. And therefore, I can be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day too. In fact, I can be in the Spirit on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and I can be in the Spirit every day, no matter what nastiness is trying to pull me down. Amen? That's for me. That's for you. John says, you know, I'm in the Spirit and God used me. Oh, John, didn't somebody tell you you're suffering? John, didn't somebody tell you things didn't go the way you thought they should? John, didn't somebody tell you that this is all bad? John is, you know, he sees Jesus. God shows him all kinds of wonderful things. And John pretty much says, I think I was going to schedule a pity party, but I've canceled it. I get that out of the book of Revelation. And then ultimately, because the bulk of Revelation, God is showing us hope for the future. It's going to get good for us. Now, it's going to really get bad for the earth. But don't we see that? Aren't we seeing that? Seriously, God, you know, I'm amazed every now and then a Christian will say, I just don't get it. What's going on? God told us what's going to go on. God told us in His Word. Let's not be blind to the Word of God, where God made it very clear things are going to get worse and worse. I'm going to tell you, the Christians that struggle with that are Christians who've been taught too much secular humanism, that things are getting better and better. You know, because, yeah, technology is better. I mean, technology, it's amazing what all is available. I mean, you know, I remember the show The Jetsons, and we're seeing a lot of that stuff. You know, I'm just waiting on the little flying car. Maybe that fuel will be cheaper than $4 a gallon. I don't know. Probably be more, wouldn't it? Yeah, that's scary just to think about flying cars and some of us driving them. But anyway, but I mean, you know, that's where we could start thinking, wow, preacher, things are getting better. But come on, let's really analyze. Things are getting worse. I'm very upbeat. I've always been an upbeat kind of a person, and it just takes an awful lot to get me down. But things on a worldwide scale, things are going just like God said. But see, John, and by the way, John sees all this. He sees it just like we read it. He sees it. You know, wow, you know, the earth is going to be under siege and all these things are going to happen. And yet there's hope. There's hope for the future. And praise the Lord for that. Here's another way I look at it. Yesterday, here's the other way I see John, God giving this to John and then John writing it for us. Yesterday, God loved me. Today, God loves me. And tomorrow, He'll still love me. Isn't that awesome? That's what John, I think, is getting from God. Here's another one. I did right. I'm doing right, and I'm going to keep doing right. Amen? Amen. Here's another thing to look at. In trials, He comforted me. Today, when trials come, He comforts me now. Trials are coming, and He will comfort me. Past, present, future. We'd like to think there will be no more trials. We'd like, you know, when John was pastoring the church at Ephesus, he probably sat back and just, you know, he enjoyed that and loved his people and everything. He would not have known that one day he'd be on the Isle of Patmos, banished. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. I have no idea. I don't know what we're going to face. I know that Christians all over this world are suffering. You don't read about that. You don't see it in the main newspapers. But I got news for you. Christians are suffering. I'm talking about folks just like you and I. People that believe like we believe. And they're suffering. And they're meeting out in woods. And they're meeting in basements. And they're hiding out. And they're having services like this where the Word of God's preached. But they watch the doors because at any time they can be taken away and some murdered, put in prison. And that is going on even as I speak right now. But I'm just saying, John said, you know, through the Word of God, for all the churches, for you and I, for Christians, God wants us to know it has been bad before. It's bad right now. And it's going to be bad again. But it sure looks good. Because in all of that, God is still God. And God's going to take care of our needs. And I wish every Christian could get the outlook that obviously God wanted John to have. Could you imagine if John would have written, "Woe is me, it's over. I am suffering so much, I just can't take it. And I don't know where the Christians are. They're supposed to rescue me from this island, but I'm sick and tired of them. I don't like this island. I don't like the weather. And I don't like what's going on around me. And I'm sick and tired of this." And I got news for you. He would have never written anything. Because he would not have been in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I'm telling you, you want something from God and you want God to do something in your life, then yield to His Spirit. And I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is just, it's just, I read it and I think that could be my life right there. God's been good, God's good, and He's going to be good. And that's my testimony right there. That should be all of our testimonies. Roman numeral 1, to see what God reveals to him. Roman numeral 2, to script what he sees. And Roman numeral 3, to send what he scripts. To send. Verse 11, back to verse 11 again. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, if you read commentaries, they don't say a whole lot about that, and you'd have to get into some very, very deep commentaries. But how would he do that? Well, preacher, I mean, it's no big deal. You just fax it, you know, copy it, and email it to people. By the way, I still have not figured out how to do that kind of stuff. I don't even fax. I have everybody else fax everything. It scares me. It really does. But anyway, he had to send what he scripts. Whatever he wrote, he's supposed to send. Now, here's some thoughts that I had. What time is it? Let's see. We're at, all right, ushers, I need you to come and go ahead and just start collecting the offering for the class, and that'll be good. But I started thinking about this because you kind of look ahead at these letters. And chapter 2, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There's Ephesus. You know, unto the angel, we talked about that. That's the messenger, the pastor of the church. And I know it's hard for you to imagine the pastor being an angel. But anyway, so why do you laugh? It hurts me. But anyway, these so you have a letter to Ephesus here, okay, to the church at Ephesus. But notice what he says. He says, what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches. Okay, so whatever he sees, that includes the letter to Ephesus. Okay, and Thyatira and Laodicea, okay, all of that is put in a book and sent to all seven churches. That means that each church gets each other church's letter. They get the exhortation too. What was written to the church at Ephesus, the church at Smyrna would read that as well. And whatever was written at the church of Smyrna. Now, again, in my mind, I think of typical Christians, and I could imagine the folks in Smyrna saying, well, look what they did in Ephesus. And I can imagine the folks in Thyatira, we're pretty good folks and all of that kind of stuff. But that's how it is. You know, do you ever find yourself saying, well, at least we're better than the Corinthians were? Remember this. We are not to compare ourselves to anyone else. Berean Baptist Church has no right comparing itself to any other church. You know what we need to do? We need to get in this book and see what God wants us to do and find out where we're falling short and try to do what we're supposed to do, period. It is not up to us to analyze what this church did, that church did, they do. What we have to do is we have to say, what do I need to do, God? What do I need to do? Each church gets each church's letter. You'll notice again that Christ is common in all. He is in the midst of these churches. And I believe, again, it represents all of us. Now, understand, these letters contain commendation, and we will spend a long time on chapter 2 and chapter 3. Say, we've spent a long time on chapter 1. Amen. And you know what? If the rapture takes place, we will finish up a couple thousand years later. We'll have Paul, he can speak on it. John, we'll just invite him to come and speak to us a little bit and tell us some things. And I'm just saying, we're just, you know, it is kind of slow. But understand, Christ is common in all. He is in the midst, and these letters contain commendation. You are doing a good job. They contain rebuke. You are failing here. They contain promise. They contain warning. If you don't, they contain comfort. All the things that we need are in these letters. Okay? And understand, what the church at Smyrna needed, then God gave, obviously, to them, but God knew that the folks in Pergamos would need it too. And he also knew that the folks in Laodicea would need it. And when God talked to the church at Laodicea, he knew that, there's folks in Ephesus that are going to need that too. And you know, just like us. Okay, don't look at somebody like I know the pastor's talking about them. Understand, when the Word of God is being preached and taught, the Word of God is talking to all of us. It's not just talking to any one person. It's all of us. And it's so important that we see that. When I saw that, it just jumped right out and spoke to my heart. Sent to all, specific and for everybody, therefore sent to everybody. And the Word of God is for every one of us. You say, yeah, you know, that stuff in the Old Testament, that just doesn't really apply to me. It does apply to you. Everything applies to every one of us. It's God's Word to us. And it does apply. Now, again, it applies in the way God intends for it to apply. And but don't ever get the idea that, well, I really didn't need that. Jesus said that we need every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Again, we may not understand all of it right now, but we will. I asked this question last week. How many of you have read a passage of Scripture and you read it again and God showed you something else out of it, and then you read it again and God showed you something else? In 20 years, you've been reading through your Bible, and we have folks in this room that every year read through. I've read through it. I don't know exactly how many times I've read through the Bible, but I'll read a verse and I'll think, wow, I never saw that before. You ever heard a preacher say, I didn't see that before? I just saw this. And here's a guy that's been reading his Bible for years, preached on that verse before and didn't see it. That's how God works. That's exactly how God. And you know what? God will deal with Ray Hollins in a way. He's reading it, and then I read the verse, and God meets my need. And then Don Pickenpaul's reading that same verse, and God does. And the verse doesn't change, words don't change, but it's how God teaches us and shows us and works in our hearts, and it's the need being met. Don't ever get the idea it's not for me. It is for us. Just as this was for every one of those churches, and each of their commendations, each of their reproofs, each of their warnings, and the promises, they all applied to everybody. So we're going to stop there because I get into some pretty major stuff here. But again, he's going to send. I'd like to have finished this because it does deal somewhat with where we are now. Realize this, okay, and I have to end with this. I really have to. God is able. It's His Word. If you were to study what a copyist, okay, again, no copy machines, no emails, no fax machines, okay, if you were to understand what a copyist had to go through to copy the Word of God, just to be the one that copies it, okay, if you understood what they went through to make sure it was accurate, why in the world do we think somehow that a man would be more detailed about God's Word than God Himself would be? God, who wants us to have His Word. Let me tell you something. God can and did and does preserve His Word. And I thank God today I've got it. I am so glad that I have it. And we will read all the way through it today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, here in this auditorium. And praise the Lord, we have the Word of God. Father, thank You so much for the time we could spend in Your Word. And Lord, I ask You to help us to realize that everything applies to us. Everything is precious to us. It's Your Word. And I pray we would treat it that way, that we'd read it, that we would heed it, that we would live the way You want us to live. We'd follow the instructions that You gave us. And I pray You bless our morning service, that You'll speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.